I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell. We're Loud and Clear, a Julian the Phantom's rewatch podcast. We love it, you love it, so we're going to talk about it. This week we're covering episode 3, Flying Solo.
This episode is so cute. It is probably one of my favorites in regards to the building of the relationships between everyone. And it's just like really delightful. I love it.
I agree. Yeah, I think this is a really sweet episode, and I like that we get to see more of the backstory between sort of Flynn and Julie and more of that development of that friendship, as well as Julie with the band. But yeah, and we also get to meet Alex's new very special friend.
Yeah, his new ghost friend, Willie. Which is very exciting. So, yes, easily one of my favorite episodes. It kicks off in a very interesting manner because, like we said in our previous episode, the episode Bright kind of ends on a cliffhanger where, you know, Julie's performance for her school at the pep rally or spirit rally or whatever obviously ended, and everyone's staring at her like, hey, where did your 3 bandmates go? So she basically starts this episode with being confronted and having to figure out an explanation for what happened to her ghost band.
Right. And thankfully, one of Carrie's friends gives Julian out and is like, wait, were they holograms? And Julie's like, oh, 100%. Yes, those are holograms. I would explain it to you, but you're all really dumb. This involves science, and you are all music people, and everyone knows that people who like music and people who like science can't be the same.
Yes, she's just like, it's too technical, and I'm not getting into it. Which I just, find hilarious, actually, because, even the teacher and the principal, nobody questions it. They're just like,
right. They're all yeah, just like, sure. Oh, of course, science.
Right, yeah.
Science is for other people.
Teach at this school. Someone else, not us, we don't teach it. Somebody else, maybe, in another hall, sure.
None of the science people are here right now.
Right.
And so everybody thinks that this is the coolest thing they've ever seen in their whole lives.
Yes. Meanwhile, the band members, Luke, Alex, and Reggie, are obviously figuring out, oh, hey, they could see us while we performed, and they can't see us now. And Reggie's like, are we sure they can't see us now? And then jumps up and does a little dance to test it. And Alex is very much like, I wish I couldn't see you right now. This is shameful and embarrassing.
I know. I love it. I love Alex so much in this episode and all of the episodes. But in this one where he's just like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm stuck with you forever.
It's so funny. He's just like, why? And it's cute for Reggie too because he's so excited. Luke is excited that people can see them. Reggie is excited that girls can see them. He's just like, yes,
so excited about the girls. Yeah. A bit of a one-track mind.
They saw me, and I can really capitalize on that.
I love it.
It's so cute.
And then the principal's like, okay, everybody, it's time to go back to school, which we do here. And Carrie is so mad about the hologram thing. She has been upstaged.
Yes. Yeah, she's kind of vicious about it, and she, doesn't really address that here other than being snippy with her friend, who obviously suggested the holograms. The teacher comes over and Julie is asking, can I please get back in the music program? And she's like, I'm sorry, your spot has already been filled.
Cut to this kid who's maybe 12 years old or something, dragging an enormous cello down the steps of the stage, which was the cello up there before? We don't know, and it's just thunking its way down each step really slowly, and they're just watching this happen. It's so funny. Julie's like, that thing's so big, it's way too big for him. Teacher's like, he'll grow into it.
It's hilarious because this child is maybe all of 4 feet tall, and this cello is definitely over a foot taller than him and easily weighs twice as much as he does. And I'm just shocked that he doesn't, like, get crushed by it as he's dragging it down the stairs. Like, it's just so awkward. And it's such a great, like, moment of physical comedy in this. Like, it's so perfectly delivered.
I love it. I love this kid so much. We'll see him again. We know nothing about him except that he's small and plays the cello.
Right. So Julie's like, please give me my spot back, you know, and the teacher's like, I'm really sorry, like, it's out of my hands. I don't have the power to make that decision. And the principal walks up and is like, okay, but I do. I'm gonna go ahead and let you back into the program. And I love that this is one of those moments where this is clearly a show, like, for young people, because there's just not a lot of logic that goes into this moment. Like, I think when you're an adult and you understand the logistics of, like, how schools and stuff actually work, you would understand that this is just not a thing that could ever happen. But if you're a child watching this, you're like, yeah, the principal could obviously just hand wave it and, like, put her back in. No problem.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So, plot, I guess.
I'm here for it, though. I love that they're able to just be like, yeah, like, that's a thing principals can do, and children would just be like, yes, we know, we have principals, they can definitely just do things,
they have all the power. I mean, I guess we don't know that she can't.
It's more that it's just like, maybe she could in a real life situation, but it would just be a lot more complex than this.
Oh yeah,
like the way they deal with it is just very, like, chill and cavalier. Like, Julie just runs home and tells her dad, I'm back in, it's no problem. Like, it's not.
Meanwhile,
like,
her dad is literally researching music programs halfway across the world. Yes. To send her to. And I'm like, what is the music program situation here? Like, I don't.
Right. It's just, it's not like there's, like, any kind of paperwork involved or, like, steps to take, or, like, she doesn't have to, like, go register for things. They're just like, yeah, no, it's just cool. I just gave you this authorization, so you're good to go. Come in and, like, do your class. So she finds out she's back in the music program. She's really excited, and Flynn is like, oh, that's great for you. Also, who are these random dudes that you're up here, like, playing music with?
Where have you been hiding these cute boys?
I love that, too, that she's immediately like, yes, they're cute, and I'm, like, interested in them. Also, why are you hiding them from me? Like, what's happening here? But it's never, like, it's not like she's suspicious of the boy. She's just suspicious of Julie and, like, whatever she's got going on.
Right. And then Julie lies to Flynn about the hologram band. And that's what really makes Flynn mad. She's like, we don't lie to each other. Like, why are you lying about this situation? And it's, of course, because they're ghosts. And
right.
Julie doesn't think she can explain that, but it was a very bad lie.
Julie is not a good liar at all. Like, no. She's so bad at it, and it's actually really concerning and shocking that all the adults in her life just continue to believe her when she lies, because she just does it so badly. But I do appreciate that at least her best friend Flynn just sees right through it and is like, no, whatever you just said, not the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know what the truth is, but whatever the words you have just said were so far from the truth.
Right.
So Flynn is super mad. And Julie sort of tries to follow her out when she runs off. But everybody else in the school thinks this whole thing is the coolest thing they've ever seen, of course. And so they're all trying to stop her and, like, talk to her. But Carrie is in the way, and she is not impressed, and also is super annoyed when Nick is like, you could try being nice to her.
This is one of those complicated moments, because I actually understand Carrie's anger and frustration here. And I think that it's misplaced, but at least, like, it makes sense to me. What bugs me is, like, she's already been set up to be so mean to Julie that it feels like it just, like, it makes her actual valid frustration seem invalid, or, like, mm-hmm. It makes it seem like she's being unreasonable. But, like, she's talking to Nick after because he's confronting her and saying, hey, like, you could be nicer. And she's like, look, she basically came in and upstaged me at this event that, like, I was scheduled to perform at and that she wasn't. Like, I was asked to do this. And I worked really hard on the routine that I just did. And basically, I'm just being ignored and nobody cares. Like, I've worked really hard all year to be in this program and she's done nothing. And now she's performing and, like, everyone's fawning over her. Like, it's really frustrating. And there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I absolutely get it. And then there's the other part of me that's like, okay, but empathy, ma'am. Like,
right, like, her mom died. And you don't have a mom, as far as we're aware. So,
right.
You think she could understand maybe how Julie feels. Although I suppose it maybe is different. We don't know. Again, we don't know the situation with Carrie's mom or lack of mom.
I think what's hard is it just doesn't, like, while her feelings make sense to me, it just doesn't excuse all her, like, incredibly catty behavior.
Oh, yeah. She's, like, being very mean.
Right. And we know that she's been mean even leading up to this when she was so hateful to Julie in the music program. And so it's one of those situations where I look at it and I'm like, okay, yes, your frustration makes a lot of sense to me. You're working really hard and this person isn't. And you feel like they're getting undeserved attention or whatever, or that it's, you know, taking mm-hmm. attention away from you. But at the same time, like, rather than being understanding and empathetic, you're being cold-hearted and cruel to her about it. And it really just, like, speaks to who they are as people.
Right. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Nick is like, I walked right into that one. It's like, Nick, you're such a wet piece of cardboard about this. Like, why are you dating this girl who treats everybody horribly?
Right, because again, like, there's just this thing where he makes these half-hearted attempts to, like, care or show up or, like, stand up for anybody and gets, like, even the littlest bit of pushback on it and just immediately is like, okay, and caves and lets it go.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. There's something, it's one of those things, like I pointed out in the first episode, I just feel like he's so young. And so obviously that, like, plays a big part in it. Like,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of a little baby.
He is, yeah, he is a little baby. But Julie, I will say that Julie's comebacks in this scene are truly not very good. So Carrie does have a point about that. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, chemical properties of manners or something like.
Yeah, they're
no, truly that's really not bad. Good. And then wow yourself, like Gary was justified in saying another winner about that.
Right. Like Gary may be a lot of things, but at least she's clever.
Right. She definitely is. But so Julie runs off again and stumbles upon the boys who are have realized new ambitions of being cheerleaders and they're practicing their pyramid in the hall.
They're so cute. I love them.
And they show off their routine for Julie, but she's annoyed at them because the hallway is not for cheers. It's right. A cheer-free zone around here. And also, she's totally wigging about the whole, hey, you're visible when you play thing. Which, it turns out Alex is also wigging about that, and plus he's got a ghost wedgie, even though his clothes are made out of air.
Which is just, oh, like,
he's so cute.
I love him so much. And I love that his whole thing is, like, he's having a fully, like, full-on existential crisis about this. He's like, I don't understand, like, what's happening to us, and the logic of this, and, like, why it's happening, and how any of this works. And Jolie's just like, I'm just having an emotional crisis over the fact that my friend, I lied to her and she knows it. And like, I can't deal with anything else until I've addressed like, this.
Hey, I think cheerleaders were looking at me. Girls were looking at me. Were they looking at me? Tell me that. And Luke's like, uh-huh. Like, they're in, like, their own rom-com and Julie and Alex are living in a horror right. movie.
Right, and Reggie's like, please tell them that I'm single. And they're like, and dead. No, no, don't tell them I'm dead, just single. Like, sir, they're going to have to know you're dead if you're going to have any chance at anything. Like, the only time they can see you is when you show up and play. But yes, yeah, so like, you know, Julie obviously heads home. She's trying to figure out what she's going to do about Flynn. And she finds her dad there looking into these other music programs, which we already mentioned. But, you know, he's looking at them even in different countries. And it's clear that, like, he is really passionate about her musical success, which I find really interesting because he's been very encouraging of her getting back into music, but it doesn't seem like he's been, like, making her do it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not trying to force it on her.
He's which is really such a good dad.
Right. But he's clearly willing to, like, do whatever it takes to give her a chance at success if that's something that she actually wants, which is, like, really sweet to consider. Yeah.
He's willing to send her to Australia, and she's like, what?
He's like, I'd have flown you home for Christmas. Like, okay.
Luckily, Julie got back into her music program, which is great, and Ray is thrilled because this means he doesn't have to do any paperwork.
Yeah, which we learned he's not great at. You know, he couldn't even find his keys. He's definitely not going to be good at, like, filling out all these forms.
Meanwhile, the boys are hanging out, and Alex is just absolutely pacing and having a world-class meltdown a little bit. He is, like, not into... he does this whole rant about how he doesn't like changes and there have been too many changes. And Luke and Reggie are like, okay, but what if we do another change and invite Julie to join our band?
Right.
And then she can be our lead singer. And Luke is like, excuse me, I'm the lead singer. And Reggie's like, okay, but we can't be seen unless we play with her. So, like, without her, you're elevator music. And Luke is pouts about it.
You know what I appreciate, though? Luke pouts about it. Like, obviously he's sad, but, like, the one thing that's really notable about the three guys in this band is, like, they each have their spot and their thing that they do, and they each, like, are passionate about being part of the band. But at the end of the day, like, they do treat it as a group project and not, like, an opportunity to, like, show off their own individual talents as some kind of solo artist, like, amidst the band. So, like, yes, Luke is pouting because he's like, hey, I'm the lead singer, and he's essentially getting a demotion, but at the end of the day, like, he's more passionate about being in the band and, like, making music together with his friends than he is about being the front man and getting the attention. So he's still gonna have a role, he's still gonna play, and he's still gonna write the music and work with Julie, and it's just a shift in dynamic. Not all musicians, even in bands, like, can handle that kind of change so easily. So, I mean, I feel like his pout is, like, minor compared to what you could expect of someone in that
role. Oh yeah. No, I mean, he's not, like, throwing a fit about it. He's just having a minor pout about being called elevator. Yes. Like, he's just feeling sensitive about his invisibility.
We definitely get some, like, pouty bottom lip action for sure.
Yeah. Alex is also feeling that, and he decides that he needs to go take a walk or whatever, but he can't figure out how to use the door, and Reggie's like, you're a ghost, you can just walk through it, and he says, don't tell me how to ghost! And then goes and wanders around and runs into some Ghostbusters and is pretty hilariously freaked out, but he gets over that pretty quick because he gets pancaked by a dude on a skateboard whose name is Willie, and, Alex has a big gay panic about how great Willie's hair looks. He's like, wow, I wonder if I could rock that hairstyle.
It's so good. Willie's talking to him. He takes his helmet off and, like, shakes the hair out. And it's, like, literally, like, that classic romantic reveal moment. Like, it'd be, slow-mo. Like, if Willie was a girl and, like, flipped her long hair. But, like, obviously, he's, like, it's so good. And I love it. And I love the music and, like, the visual editing of it. And I could just hear in Alex's mind, he's just like, so pretty, so pretty, so pretty. Like, it's just, it's so good.
It's adore it. And then it's flirts o'clock. So they have to go do some flirts. And then also they have a lot of, Alex is like, I have many, many questions. Please answer my questions. And Willie's like, I'll answer them if you can keep up with me.
Right. Oh, I love that he immediately is like, yeah.
Yeah, Willie is on board for whatever this is.
He's so cute.
And we do later see them with Alex answering or asking a bunch of questions and talking about his sort of situation with how Julie can see them and how people can see them. And Willie is like, that's different and new. And Willie tells Alex about like how ghosts can cross over if they finish their unfinished business. And Alex is like, oh, I don't know what mine is. They also get interrupted by a dude in a bear costume who sits on the bench that they're on, which they think is really hilarious.
Yes.
And there's this really funny moment where Willie's like, anyway, I gotta go catch a later hot dog. And Alex is like, excuse me, that's a terrible nickname, that's how I died. But then he leans over to the dude in the bear suit, who again is living and cannot see him, and goes, he's cute, huh?
I love to, like, Willie explains how he died. Basically, he, like, got into a skating accident, and he's asking Alex how he died, and Alex, eventually explains, like, it was, you know, tainted hot dogs, and he's, like, kind of embarrassed about it. Willie's like, huh, hilariously, like, that's what got Mozart, and Alex is like, actually, that makes me feel better, like, this was just, like, a horrible thing that happened to him, and he's like, oh, well, this also happened to this other person, like, that's not that bad. It's also cute because Willie's like teaching him not just about ghost stuff, but also just about what it's like to live in 2020 and be, you know, part of the future. He like makes references to like Justin Bieber's empty pool, and Alex is just like, who is that? I don't know who that is. And when he comes back later and is reunited with Luke and Reggie, he's like making comments and explaining, I learned that from my little ghost friend. I learned that from my new ghost friend. Yeah. And it's cute to think of all the things he's like already picking up. And he's like, yeah, this guy is so cool. I learned all of these amazing things from him.
Notably, there's nothing that suggests that Mozart died from eating a bad hot dog.
No, definitely not.
I don't think hot dogs were a thing.
I mean, like, he lived in Germany, so technically I don't think it'd be a hot dog, but it could be like a sausage, like some kind of meat in a casing.
But the thing is, we don't know why Mozart died. He died of, like, an illness, basically. He had, like, he was sick. He were real sick, and then he died. And so,
I just like to think that Willie has met him, and Mozart just told him, yes, like, gave me the sickness, and then I died.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that.
That's what my headcanon is. He's just like, he's met Mozart. He knows.
But while this is happening, Luke and Reggie are playing music in the garage, and Julie is so unimpressed of them for a number of reasons, which one, they're playing alone, which they're not supposed to do, and they're like, but we're never really alone because we always have each other. It's like,
oh, Reggie.
He's so stupid. But Luke is like, eh. He's so excited about it too.
Oh, and yeah. Also, like,
Luke went through her dream box and took her music.
She's trying so hard to, like, not throttle these ghosts. She's just like, excuse you. Like, what have I said? And they're like, but
you could join
us. Because you're amazing. And we had to prove to you, like, you're so cool. And she's like, you could do that a different way without going through my stuff. Like,
yeah, she literally says, you went through my stuff. And Reggie says, yeah, we can do that now. She's like, no.
She's like,
just because you physically can
does not mean you are allowed to do that. Like,
but they invite her to join Sunset Curve, and she's like, oh. To which Luke is like, oh is what you say when you get socks for Christmas. Which I would just like to say, I love getting socks for Christmas, because then I don't have to buy socks.
Yes, please give me more socks for Christmas. As a child, though,
getting socks at Christmas was not the most exciting, but now, as a grown adult, getting socks for Christmas is like, yes, my yearly sock supply.
Yes. Specifically ankle socks, though. Like, I don't wear the long ones, which is a bummer because the long ones always have the really cool patterns on them. Like, Willy wears a pair. I don't know, like, in one of these episodes where he has, like, cool, like, cherries on his socks and everything, yeah. and I'm just looking at them like, that's so awesome, I love your socks, and but I would never wear them.
Oh, I wear long socks in the winter with, like, boots, but no. I have plenty of, like, cute ankle socks, though, that have patterns. I have some that have Mexican food puns on them.
Okay, well, like, send me a link or something. I need other cute socks. Anyway, going back. So he's sad. Socks for Christmas, which we love, but he obviously finds a huge bummer. And Julie is like, I just can't deal with anything else until I've dealt with the situation with Flynn. Like, I'm so sad about what's happening with Flynn. And he's like, yeah, that's a real bummer. So the band, like, are you going to join the band? And Julie's like, I can't deal with this right now. I need to go figure out what I'm doing with my friend.
Right. Like, she does not have time for this.
She says she's been trying to reach her and, like, hasn't been getting any messages back. So she's like, I gotta go, you know.
Find her.
See if I can find her.
So she's off doing that. Luke is still working on this song, but Reggie has questions about what deep dish means in this context. Because you know all my secrets, I know all your
deep dish.
Your secrets, you know, my deep dish. And Reggie's like, is she talking about pizza? It's like, no, she's clearly also talking about, like, your secrets.
Right, like.
But there's no time for this because Alex shows up and he's smitten and also sitting on the music, which Luke is deeply offended by.
Yes. And it's, like, very cute. He's like, he finds out that they've been working on a song and he's just like, excuse me, like, you've been doing this without me, your drummer? Like, you just... I left in a tizzy and you just were like, yeah, no big deal, and just started working on something else without me. And Luke is like, oh yeah, like, you know, that drummers are so 90s. We're just going to, like, stomp our feet now. And it's so clear, like, he's obviously just joking to rile Alex up. Like, and Alex is just like, you know what else is so 90s? Being rude. Like, these are sensitive times. Get woke.
And Reggie's like, what does that mean, Luke? Alex, like, I have no idea. But he did learn it from Willy.
Yes.
Also, he, like, shoves the notebook or whatever at Luke's chest, and Luke just goes, ah, Alex.
Right? Like, it's just, like, it's so cute, it's so funny. And I love it, too, because, again, it's that playful, like, offense, because it's clear, like, as soon as Alex turns to Reggie and, like, laughs about it, like, he's not actually hurt. They're just, like, screwing around.
But then we see Flynn, who's at Julie's house and is bringing back the Double Trouble t-shirt she says she won't need anymore. And Julie's like, no, thank you. I'm not taking that back. And Flynn's like, well, I don't want to be around liars, so I'm out. And Julie's like, fine, here's the truth. They're ghosts. And Flynn's like, so, like, therapy, question mark? Can we, I need to, she says she's going to text Ray because he asked her to tell him if Julie was not doing well, which is so weird.
I mean, I guess it makes sense to a degree because they're, like, teenagers, and he's just saying, hey, like, if there's something that comes up that maybe is a concern, like, could you address it with me as the parent? Like, because over the past year, like, obviously she has been struggling. I can see where they've known each other long enough that he's just like, well, if, you know, if anything comes up, just let me know. And she interpreted it as that, like, I need to tell your dad. Like,
right. And then Julie's like, do not text my dad. Come to the studio in half an hour and I will prove to you that these are ghosts. And then she notices that Flynn has a dozen eggs in her bag, which only proves that this show was made in 2020, because no way would you be wasting eggs like that these days.
For real.
But she was clearly going to, like, she's going to egg Julie's window or whatever.
Yes.
And thankfully does not do that. But then, so half an hour later, Julie has changed into the Double Trouble shirt, which is very cute.
Yes. And she, like, calls Flynn in, and Flynn is, like, very jokingly, like, oh, hi, ghosts, yeah, yeah, whatever. And Julie's like, they're not standing there, whatever, like, you're being silly. And Flynn is like, oh, I know, like, I'm aware that they're not real. You're the one who's, like, hallucinating these ghost boys. Which is obviously, like, really funny because Julie's just like, I'm gonna prove you wrong. I'm gonna
right, prove and then she's like, real. Can you go sit here? Reggie needs space to rock up. He doesn't want to walk through you. And Flynn's like, wow, when you create a fictional world of ghosts, you really live in that world.
Right. Julie does make a point of like, hey, go ahead and look around. There's clearly no like equipment or anything set up, so you like know that they're really here as ghosts or whatever. What really gets me about this is like these boys showed up one time when Julie played and they played with her, and they've just taken it fully for granted that that is just a thing they can do now and will happen every time. Like,
yeah,
like they're like not just certain of that, but they're like determined they're gonna prove to Flynn. And I was like, what would happen if they didn't show up, like if it didn't work a second right. time?
Right. I mean, probably not a good time for Julie.
Right, because then she looks like doubly a liar and a crazy person.
Right. Luckily, they do show up, and they do this little scene, and it's very cute, and they're singing this song.
So cute.
And Luke is having the most fun, like, shocking Flynn. And
yes.
Then Flynn is like, oh my god, they are ghosts, when she puts her arm through Reggie, and he's like, weird, huh? And Alex says they prefer musician spirits, which never comes up again, even once.
No, like, yeah, he's clearly just being a goofball. He does, though, look the most relaxed that he's been all episode when he's just sitting there playing the drums. Like,
I mean, well, because like, they're in the next episode, we'll talk about it, but we'll learn more about why he plays the drums. But, but yeah, he's, like, very deeply chill about all of this, which is so funny, because he met a cute boy and now his problems are solved.
Right. I just, he's such a precious neurodivergent little king, and like I love this for him that we're seeing him, like he's so anxious, but like when he's sitting here playing, he's just like, well, now I'm having a good time, like I'll like I have the time, like I worry about the things, but this is music time, we're gonna do the music right now.
Yes. But Flynn then says the boys are joining Julie's band. She's not joining them band, and then they have a nice little dance moment, which is very cute, and they're all just dancing to this song, and it's lots of fun. Thank goodness Ray doesn't show up, or Carlos, or anybody.
Yes. That is the funniest moment, though, is, like, literally, as soon as Luke gets any indication that Flynn has forgiven Julie, he's immediately like, and now will you join the band? We've, like, done the thing, you fixed the problem, can we discuss this now?
Like, he's very one-track mind.
I love it so much. He's just like, I have a goal, and I'm going to meet the goal. This is the thing. And that's pretty much the end of the episode. Like, it wraps up there.
So now let's talk for a second about the song in this episode, Flying Solo, because it's such a bop.
I love this song. It's so sweet, and like the perfect depiction of like a friendship, like what that relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you really get the sense from this that like they've been friends for a very long time. You know, stuff saying things like, you know, if somebody hurts you, I'm going to get hurt too. That kind of stuff. Right. And like that they've just known each other for a really long time, and that like they have set up this life that they live together. It's very funny because at one point Julie sings like, you know who I'm liking where before I like them, duh, because you like them first. And I'm like, wait.
That makes so much sense to me though, honestly, like because it's clearly a song about like these friends who are very young, like I mean they're in high school, and it like that's kind of fitting to me because I'm like, okay, I experience that, or like I feel that, where you're a young kid in middle school or high school who's like, yeah, like, this boy is cute, and your friend's like, yeah, they're cute, and, like, you, it speaks to, like, the innocence of, like, middle school and high school, like, crushes. Yeah. Like, I think it'd be different if they were, like, college students or whatever, and or, like, adults, and she was saying, yeah, you liked that guy first, but I think this is more just like, oh, yeah, like, we, you know, we even share our crushes, like.
Right. Yeah. I do think maybe the funniest line is that, which is very sweet as well, but, like, she says, my life would be real low, flying solo without you, but, like, that's redundant, because if you're flying solo, you are without somebody, like, that. Like, because yeah. I get it, basically she means, like, without you, it feels like I am alone, like, you are such an incredible part of me, but also flying solo without you is
a little redundant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It works, though, like, it's one of those situations where in this moment it's less about the words and more about how the words allow you to, like, create a certain melodic sound. But it is funny to think, like, basically that's what she wrote, and then they wrote the music to it, and we're like, yeah, this'll sound good. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's basically it for this episode. It's a very sweet one. Do you have anything else you feel like we should talk about with it?
No, like, it's a really, like you said, a sweet, it's very, like, just soft and easy. There's not, like, I mean, there's obviously the conflict between Julie and Flynn, but it's not even a very serious conflict, I feel like, because we know they're such good friends and, like, they're gonna work it out. So you don't have, like, a whole lot of tension in this episode. It's more just, like, character development, and I like the way that they're developing the characters in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we get to see more of sort of all of these varying relationships between the characters. And we, of course, get some new characters. New character.
Yes. Well, and the, you know, the new music student. I think technically we got two that show up.
Characters, yes. Plus we get the janitor who they call out as thinking that Julie's, like, absolutely crazy for talking to herself in the hallway.
Which, I mean, fair. Yeah.
Yeah. But whose fault is that, boys?
Right, like, she's like, please stop doing this to me, like, just showing up randomly and making me have conversations with you, like, in the middle of the hall. All right.
Well, we will be back next time with episode 4, but in the meantime, where can people talk to us?
Yeah, you can find us on our social media pages. You can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com, or you can find us on Blue Sky at totallynormalat dot bisky dot social, or you can find us on Tumblr. We're totallynormalaboutthat there, and you can, you know, reach out to us and share all your thoughts and feelings about this.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Bye.
Bye.